When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
You want to punch me right now, but you won't.
Why don't you punch me in the face?
Punch me in the face!
Hey, Derek, you know what's always good for shoulder pain?
What?
If you lick my...
In This League.
Joining us on the podcast for week 7. The sexiest bald man in fantasy. Is that true? I believe it is. It is Joe Pizapia from Fantasy Pros on all the podcasts. Our bestie of bestie, because there is no Bogman here for just a couple here. Joey, what's up, buddy?
What's up, my dude? Yes, and there's a lot of bald men in fantasy. So, you know, the fact that I am the sexiest of them, it's a responsibility, but I'm going to carry that torch as best as I possibly can.
Yeah, what do they say? It's just like the bearer, you know, not even try to do the analogy. I was about to try to do it.
Don't do it.
I didn't have grasp enough of what the analogy was going to be, but it was like heavy does the bearer hold of baldness and fame. I don't know what it was. It doesn't really matter, Joe. We're going to avoid that. We're going to move on.
Let's talk about the waiver wire. Let's do
that. We are going to talk about the waiver wire. And look at that. Can you believe it? It is the one, the only Scott Bogman coming in just in time, literally a minute into the podcast. Hi, Scott Bogman. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Happy to be here, finally. So
nice to have you. You're looking dapper. You're looking very dapper, my friend. We're glad to have you. We're just about to kick off some of our questions. And Joey, let's just jump right into the top thing here. Mm-hmm. What did you do for waivers this week? I felt like this was a weird waiver range. There's some running backs, there's some wide receivers. I felt like if you were to look at like the stock market of moves on waivers on a week in and week out basis over this year, you just had like slow dip, up, down, up, down. Was this an up or down waivers, and who did you target?
You know, I think, and I said this on the podcast earlier in the week too, I felt like this particular week was really dependent on what you were at in terms of record. Like if you're a team right now that's fighting for your life at 500 or below, I felt like then you're a team that's maybe thinking about pushing in a little harder on Kenyon Drake because it's a good potential matchup. And if J.K. Dobbins doesn't play, you want to do that. Maybe JT misses another week and you're going to push in on Deion Jackson if he's still out there. And, you know, maybe you're not going to get the same game you got last week out of him, which was glorious, by the way. I tell you, from a DFS standpoint, I just love that man. I send him a nice edible arrangement. But I think it's a lot of that, or you're the other side where you're thinking long term. You're looking at Rondell Moore's upside and you're going in there. You're looking at Wandale Robinson being a guy that you can go out there and see him potentially growing into this offense as a real threat to take away target share. So to me, I think it's a tale of you're either the team that has the luxury where you can go pick up the Jameson Williams and the Sky Moore still and start playing for the playoffs in the second half, or you're the team that's in it right now and saying, what can I possibly pick up this week that will help me win and get to that next week where I'm still relevant?
So, well, you know, this funny is, about
is
that.
It's like those main guys where it's like, oh, this is the must add. I got to add this guy. It's more of these interchangeable pieces, and you can make arguments for a lot of the rookie wide receivers still and arguments for all these guys. But again, it's really dependent on record.
I think what's funny about this is like 2016, because it's like the top two running back waiver wire picks this week are like Latavius Murray and Kenyon Drake. What a dumb world we live in where we have to do those. So if you're looking for backs, you're probably in that space. There's a couple long-term guys. I still think the number one guy, though, of target, and I'm actually shocked about this. I went to look while we were doing this, and Funston and Celia agreed with me we all agreed together on The Athletic, and I'm shocked to see it's still Alec Pierce. Alec Pierce, to me, is still the guy. And I know we can have the argument, is he available in leagues and whatnot? Only 39% owned in Yahoo leagues right now. And I still feel like he was, if you take away all of the messiness of things, he's like the number one guy for the now and the long term. But if you have the running back needs, you're probably going for old, crusty, boring ass vets. And I don't know there's another wide receiver I would go over Alec Pierce. So he was just kind of the top guy. But I like some
Rondell
of the names.
Moore like is interesting, too, because, you know, Rondell Moore all of a sudden might, I mean, with the Hollywood Brown calculus now, you know, maybe Rondell Moore is this guy that, because we don't know what DeAndre Hopkins is going to be right away. And I don't love the Arizona Cardinals. But, you know, Pierce has been this guy that I've been talking up the last couple of weeks in DFS because he's been getting opportunities. And I actually threw this out there to the guys. I'd love to hear your take on it. Is there a world by the time we get to the end of the season where Alec Pierce and Pittman are very close statistically, Boggs?
I don't think so. I still think it's going to be Pittman. And I think once we get back Taylor and Hines for the Colts, they're going to go back to a run first team. So with a run first team, you have the one target. I think it's going to mainly be Pittman, but I love Pierce's upside and the fact that the Colts suck right now, and Matt Ryan has to throw a bunch of passes has been fantastic. I mean, obviously last week was a little bit of an apparition because no running backs, and even Deion Jackson got hurt, their third string guy. So they had to throw the ball 1,000 times. But I mean, this week's matchup is great for them throwing too. So I like Alec Pierce. There's no way I put him in the category of Pittman.
What might be a better question to go through, this is something that Jake has brought up a couple times on the Athletic Pod about Beller, was Michael Beller had, I guess, said in the preseason that Alec Pierce would be like the number one rookie wide receiver, which a little placating here. I don't necessarily quite, I wouldn't have bought that before, but now it's interesting because you're going and looking and like, you know, Dotson's been hurt and kind of that offense is a disaster. Garrett Wilson and the Jets are just non-existent anymore. So it's like, who is the competition you're looking at? So yeah, could Alec Pierce? Yeah, there's Olave. I love. He got
in
hurt.
London.
Drake Mariota London. Has to they don't more. Throw. Yeah. They don't throw. So.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
Topics in sports wagering, real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Chris Welsh
said you were coming.
What else did he say?
He said you were the best in the parsec.
Scott Bogman,
former Imperial sharpshooter.
That's not saying much.
I wasn't a stormtrooper, wise ass.
Please excuse his lack of decorum.
In this league.
This is the way. Stop touching things.
Maybe the question is, can Alec Pierce be the number one wide receiver from the rookie class this year?
I'd say that's more likely. Right?
It's not impossible. And the reason why I brought it, you know, it's funny when you talk about Pittman, it theoretically you go, well, yeah, because Pittman is, you know, a guy that more established. But if you look at the Pittman game log, it's all over the place. He's wide receiver 6 year, he's wide receiver 10. Like it's very little in between. Whereas if Alec Pierce just keeps getting, you know, 6 for 65 every week, if he becomes the more consistent
guy, score. Yeah.
Well, it's like, you know, that T. Higgins kind of role where you're the secondary dude, but you're that guy every week that's getting floor. It's almost like a poor man's version of the Bengals. Now, Pittman is nowhere near Jamar Chase, but what I'm saying is where you have the guy who can get some of those right. bigger weeks, but then there's other guy who just kind of keeps plugging away. And Pierce is clearly a guy that has ingratiated himself into the culture of Indianapolis because Matt Ryan and Frank Reich have really good things to say about him. And he also was the reason, I believe, why you didn't see more activity out of them looking for other wide receivers after the draft, where you brought in a lot of other guys to camp or things like that, or maybe you'd sign another guy or trade for somebody else. So, you know, to me, I see that path for Pierce, but you know, I'm still being stubborn and I'm holding out hope that my dude Sky Moore can finally be that guy, because I'm telling you what they have now ain't working. Try something else. And you started to see it. And who did he throw that pick to at the end? Sky Moore. He was trying to find Sky Moore at the end of the biggest play of the game.
Is that your best argument? Is that he threw a pick towards Sky Moore's area?
Here's my best argument for Sky Moore. You ready for it, Box? Last year, I could not possibly get enough Amon-Ra St. Brown. I thought Amon-Ra St. Brown was going to be this dude that was going to be a potential league-winning guy, and I drafted him everywhere with my last pick, and I held him for weeks and weeks and weeks, and then eventually I dropped him. And what a schmuck am I? Because he went on an historic run in a great situation. And I'm just continuing to look at Juju Smith-Schuster being terrible. And like, just because he had those touchdowns.
Hey, please, come on. Those were the slowest spin move in the history of the NFL.
The slowest spin
move,
the worst missed tackle in those scenarios.
I mean, seriously, he looked like Jim Carrey.
It was unbelievable. Juju's been terrible.
MVS, we should call him the pet detective.
They just got nobody there. So why not start to pivot? And I think the more you lose these big
pick up Adam Troutman too, he's going to be the next big tight end. So,
well, no, that I'm never buying.
That's a Bogman. That's a Bogman. But I will tell you this though. I will tell you this though. What is, I actually don't disagree with this. I think we are going to look back and we'll have been, you know, just too early on Sky Moore, but I can already tell you what will annoy me. And we have to get everybody in check on this. Mm-hmm. This is what's going to happen.
Yeah, especially
Bogman knows where I'm going to go. It's going to be D-Bro. I'm going to get in D-Bro's in grill about this is, if Sky Moore does break this, which I think is possible, because you could see Mahomes, I agree with you, Joe, he's starting to look to him more. They're trying to put him in more situations. Maybe he's been a little bit of behind in the offense, but when he goes out and has 8 good weeks, no one's allowed to claim victory lap on Sky Moore. No one's allowed to victory lap Sky Moore because he's a disaster and a droppable piece.
So if you drafted Amon-Ra St. Brown last year and you held him all year, you don't get to claim victory on that?
No,
because the process and the discipline to stick with the process, and it panned out and it won you leagues.
Yeah, if he hit you, it won't. Okay, do you think people that held on to Amon-Ra St. Brown won leagues last year because of the back end when he?
Do you think there were more people that held on to him, or more people that drafted him, let him go, and then somebody else picked him up?
I think everybody drafted him and let him go because unfortunately we get a squeeze of injuries.
Well, that's what's happened to Sky Moore too. That's the point.
But I think with that last roster spot,
you hold on to anyone that has a shot.
There's been some weeks with some teams where I still love Sky Moore that I've thought about dropping him, and every time I do, I go, is it really worth it? And
yeah.
every time, yeah. and you know what? I've gone, no, it's not. Because I'm going to chase this jabroni this week. And then next week, I'm going to drop that guy back to the waiver wire because he sucks. Think about the people who chased Randall Cobb last week. Think about the people who are chasing Zay Jones every week. Think about the people who are chasing all these guys. And then typically, they don't tend to be that. But is Jameson Williams potentially that guy? Yeah. Is Sky Moore potentially that guy? Yeah, because of the circumstances that those guys are in where, you know, look, Garrett Wilson's super talented, but Zach, you know, Zach Wilson ruins everything. Like, that's just, he's that guy. Like,
Breece Hall ruined it. He did everything.
Breece Hall ruined it too.
Zach Wilson to throw the ball. So well,
thank goodness, because he can't. Yeah.
So, I guess to that, to your point then a little bit, the one benefit, and this is something all three of us were very adamant about, is these wide receivers cost, sans Drake London. Drake London cost you a bit. All of the rest didn't really cost you a whole bunch.
Didn't.
So to the point, you definitely ate. If you drafted Sky Moore early, which I did, by the way, I'm not like picking on D-Bro who loves Sky Moore. I like Sky Moore. I have him more than any player in any of my leagues. And I think I've only cut him in one super deep league. To the point of him being drafted so much later and being like wide receiver 4 or 5 in some instances, that is where the win will be more right. accurate. Where this, well, also, this argument of mine.
Sure, you could throw it out there, but if you're 1-7, then you're like, Sky Moore scored me 30
points.
Yeah,
yeah. But my argument exists. My argument exists more about when you get into the place of, and this happens with running backs a lot, when everyone's drafting all the rookie running backs and they don't perform, they're drafting them in RB2s or 3s and they're bad for 7 weeks and then they pop off and everyone's like, I told you. And it's like,
but that's been the trend with rookie running backs the last couple of years. Whether you just look back at Taylor, you look back at Swift, you look back last year, who was it? All these guys, it was always the second half where they started to get more command of the offense, command of the playbook, more confidence from the coaching staff. Like that stuff, that's typically the new trend, which is smart because if you're paying attention to it,
you could have got someone that performed.
Ken Walker was probably that guy this year where you could look at it and now the opportunities opened up for him where he's going to be that guy. But I think the trick is don't be the person that drafts those guys, be the person that ends up trading for those guys or picking them up when someone else dropped them.
I agree with that.
But like last year, Amon-Ra St. Brown and Gabriel Davis, every single one of my drafts, those are my last two picks. And I'm, like I said, it's like at a certain point you have to say, yes, if you're 1-7, whatever it is, then it doesn't matter. But I'll tell you what, I drafted him in flex and I'm 7-2. And I don't know what the hell I'm in flex right now, but I'm in good shape in flex, whatever I'm in, right? Because of all that wacky scoring we get. And I still got Sky Moore on that roster. And by golly, I ain't dropping him. And I'm telling you right now, like you can 7-5. So I'm still like, I'm tied with Sealy. That's all that matters. As long as I'm tied with Sealy, I'm right there with him. That's all that matters. But that's the thing. It's like, and this week I have to start him because my buys are so bad. I have no choice. I'm trying to pick up a couple guys in the waiver wire, but I think the rookie wide receiver class is very good. I just wish all of them had better circumstances. And the one guy that's got good circumstances is the guy that's got Patrick freaking Mahomes and a bunch of jabroni wide receivers who can't get it done. So I'm waiting for somebody to go, look, this isn't working. We need to try something new. Because when you lose to the Colts and you lose to the Bills and you lose to some of these other teams you might see again in the playoffs and seeding matters, you're going to wish that you had flipped the switch sooner.
Yeah, and those late guys definitely get a little bit more. I just get very picky about everybody claiming win when they're like, this guy, and it doesn't work. But when you draft them,
I thought I liked Sky Moore until I met Derek Brown.
Well, all of us. I will say one of the biggest credits I'm going to give D-Bro is if Sky Moore does end up finishing better than Juju after all of this, it will be one of the funniest storylines in the history of ITL.
I mean, look, Juju's leaving that door wide open.
Bogman's been doing a little bit of high stepping lately on the Juju. And
on the Sunday live stream, Erickson and I had this huge thing about, because people were asking, do I play Juju this week? And they were like, there were these terrible things like, do I play Juju or DJ Moore? I was like, you play Juju and you hope. And I was like, and if you get that game where he has one touchdown, nay, two touchdowns, trade him immediately afterwards. Wishes do come true. Here it is. You have this window, and I guarantee you, 90% of the people who have Juju on their roster are going, oh, good. Now we can have good Juju rest of the year. No, they're going to not trade him and they're going to be miserable the rest of the season.
If you can actually trade him. Speaking of trades, perfect transition. Mm-hmm. Couple pieces on the trade market. I really just want to get your take on this. CMC. Bogman and I have talked about this. I think Bogman's pretty staunch. It ain't happening. I feel pretty confident.
No. I'm not.
I thought you were like, this ain't happening.
No. what I said was it's going to be hard to trade him because of his massive contract, you know, but the salary cap ain't real. So they want to get rid of him. They'll find a way.
And I don't think
finds
any,
a way. Ian Malcolm
there's any money. There's any money attached. I don't think there's the money this year is low. The next 2 years is big. It seems unlikely, especially with the ask, but...
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey,
in this league.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Huh?
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me. Not me.
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Who would have thought?
Not me. Not me.
Rumors popping out even today. The two I saw were the Rams and the 49ers. Virtual World used the word implicated, by the way. And for some reason, I was like, not sure I would use it said the 49ers are implicated with CMC. I'm like, yeah,
that was a weird implication. I saw that wording. That was very weird.
I was like, whoever wrote that.
Committed a crime.
Implication.
Yeah. But what about implication? Yeah, I probably would not use those. But the 49ers make a lot of sense. The Rams make even more sense. And there's a trade market. There's odds that are kind of differing. I'm seeing different people put out here. But some odds I see, the Bills at number one plus 400. I still don't think it works. And I think it's been talked about with cap issues that they can't really find a way. Dolphins at 500, Rams 6, Patriots in there. Because of Belichick and the 49ers, I know there's no chance. And the 49ers at 5. So the question is, do you think Christian McCaffrey gets traded into where? If so,
I think I do so many shows, but I think Scott Bogman and I had that conversation where I said the 49ers like 2 weeks ago. I think that was with you. If not, I don't know, because I said the only team that really makes sense to me for him is the 49ers because they're on borrowed money and borrowed time right now, right? They got another year, Jimmy Garoppolo. Somehow it all fell in their lap. Garoppolo will be gone next year. They've been at the precipice. They've been at the Super Bowl and the NFC Championship game back-to-back years. Push the chips in. That division is so winnable. And I think the Rams kind of feel the same way. Nobody's really standing out in that division to a huge degree. I don't think anybody really believes in Seattle. Arizona's absolutely dreadful. Cliff Kingsbury's the next coach to get fired. And to me,
after
you're the 49ers, you get Christian McCaffrey, you finally give Kyle Shanahan that all-encompassing running back to end all running backs to really make this push. It makes so much sense. It makes sense because of the quarterback you have to, where his best thing is dumping the ball off efficiently and effectively and just not making mistakes. I mean, if there's one running back or one weapon that falls into the lap of Jimmy Garoppolo that he can really use, it's Christian McCaffrey. And to me, you go ahead and you make this move, you make this deal because, I mean, maybe if you do win it all, then you run it back with CMC because you do have him under contract. And maybe you do that with Trey Lance next year and you don't have Garoppolo around. Like, there's so many variables there. But to me, it's the only team that really, truly makes sense.
Yeah, and I agree. And I think they have some of the cap space to do this. Also, McCaffrey can play some of the Debo role that they're missing right now. Mm-hmm. And that system, I know people would freak out about it. Let's say Eli Mitchell was not involved in the trade. You probably still see Eli Mitchell get 10 to 11 carries a game. McCaffrey is probably going to get 15 to 16. And instead of doing a lot of the stuff they do with Debo and some of these other guys, you're probably going to see it with McCaffrey. And like you said, Garoppolo, a way, way, way better accurate low-end passer from behind the line where Trey Lance wasn't. And the biggest thing they lack is just innovative offense. And you can stretch Debo out more in the middle of the field. I think it makes all the sense. Plus, bring him back to Northern California where he played at Stanford. They probably
Yeah.
So I agree with this.
All is that they don't have a 2023 first round pick, which is what the Panthers want. But I mean, they got future first round. You could trade 2024, 2025.
No, I don't know if I don't think
conditional. There's many different ways to get
Boggs. You can want a first round pick all you want. I don't think any team in the NFL is giving you a first round pick for any running back, period.
I think you're right about that.
But that's also why I think Eli Mitchell would be involved.
No organization in their right mind would value a running back that's been in the league for 4 or 5 years at the compensation of a first round pick. I don't
But you have to throw that out there. It's kind of like, you know, when you're having a yard sale. Yeah, you're having a yard sale, you put $20 on there so you get $10.
Where did Breece Hall get drafted? Like, I'm just saying, it's like, let's think about from where we went from where Saquon Barkley.
There's so many running back free agents, and there's so many good ones in the draft, too.
Saquon Barkley to now Breece Hall. Think about how the NFL has changed in those few years, right? Of the value of RBs in the draft. They don't care. Like, that, there, nobody is going to give you that price. If you get a second, you should be, you know, walking on sunshine. Like,
but that's also why the 49ers, I think, have the ability. Jeff Wilson has looked good. You've got Eli Mitchell. What you do is you move one of these running backs, most likely Eli Mitchell, I would imagine. You move one of those guys so the Panthers can, you know, they can sell it a little bit better. You get a mid-round pick. You get a guy like Eli Mitchell. You get a future pick, and you move on. And then you've got a future running back because no one's going to give you those first. Hope it happens. Boggs, do you really quickly, do you have a destination you think he's going to go to with those odds?
I just hope it's not Buffalo. That's my big hope, because honestly, I think he gains value almost anywhere else he goes but Buffalo. Like, Buffalo just doesn't use a running back enough. We've seen Devin Singletary. They split it up. Now, if CMC goes there, you know, he could score 400 touchdowns and no one would be surprised. He could be the goal line guy, but they like to run Josh Allen there, like throw to Knox and Diggs and Davis, all those guys too. So I don't know that there's many places where he goes and he doesn't gain value. Buffalo's the only one I kind of don't like. So pretty much anywhere, just get him out of this ugly ass Panthers offense is what I want.
I'm surprised Kansas City's not on this list as well. I would think it would be somebody they should. Yeah, I think I've seen them pop up in a couple different. I actually think I saw one person's odds.
The dream right there.
I'm not seeing any like sites that are posting now, but I saw.
You know who everybody should be. I think everybody right now, low key, should be trying to trade for Brandon Cooks because he's going to get traded. There's so many spots.
His cap like is so big. It's enormous.
But I feel like they will work that out somehow. Because if there's so many teams that need wide receiver help, and he could help a lot of teams, like he really can, he could still do it. I don't think he's lost all that much. I just think that's a player that's
what Brandon Cooks need is one more trade on his record.
Look, man, you're that guy.
At this point, who cares? Yeah,
it's like that. It's like that great relievers in Major League Baseball, right? I mean, those guys play everywhere. Like Lee Smith played for every team. I feel like, you know, those guys are like, you know, at some point you're like, well, I need that guy who can get a big out in a big spot. Well, there's the dude. You know, like sometimes. That's your role in professional sports.
Imagine if Cardinals could have not gotten Robbie Anderson and gotten Brandon Cooks. That would have felt a lot better with Marcus Brown.
Or just even DeSean Jackson, which I thought was funny that he was in some rumors the day after they trade for
Cliff
Robbie
Kingsbury
Anderson.
Is next.
He should be.
Joe, the other trade that's swirling here, and this has been one where I'm almost unanimously gotten this response of nobody cares if and where Cam Akers is traded, because it's not going to matter to his fantasy value. So let's just see if you're going to pile on or if you have a different take. Cam Akers, we believe, is going to be traded. If he doesn't, that speaks for itself. But if he gets traded, do you think he can recover some of that fantasy value? And do you have any destination you've thought of where Cam Akers makes sense? Well,
he might be able to. I mean, that I think is a little silly. That notion that he can't possibly get. I mean, I think the spots are limited right now because it doesn't seem to be a whole lot of need. I would say if the Denver Broncos ever won a game, they should be kicking the tires on Cam Akers
because
they've got nothing. Mike Boone ain't it. I sold every share that I had of Melvin Gordon the week that Javonte Williams got hurt. And boy, oh boy, theoretical value, guys. And this is a good lesson for everybody listening to the show. Theoretical value. 75% of the time is better than the real value of a player. Like, it's just one of those things. If the Baltimore situation continues to be weird, that's another team where he would have value, because I don't think Kenny Drake is a long-term answer. And if JK is not really good, I know they got Gus Edwards coming back. So that's more of a muddy situation. So it's not ideal. It's not great. But there's just so few spots. I mean, the only other one is the Atlanta Falcons. If they want to say, you know, Algier really hasn't been that guy. But are the Atlanta Falcons going to be moving anybody? Probably not. So I think it comes down to that first scenario I laid out there, where it kind of makes the most sense for me anyway, that the Denver Broncos try, because they're already kind of, they push their chips in the middle here. And sometimes desperate, you know, times call for desperate measures, but I don't know. It's kind of tough.
The only other one that I can think of would be the Chargers, because Spiller ain't working right now. They had him as an inactive this week, and Joshua Kelly got hurt. So, you know, they're down to Sony Michel. But they've already done this dance. I don't know if they want to spend any more capital on a running back.
I don't think they do, Box. I think they look at, you know, I don't think they do. I think all they want desperately is to just get Keenan Allen healthy. Like, that's all they want. But, you know, Cam Akers, I think, is a better chance to get, you know, released and picked up than he is necessarily to get traded.
Probably. I'll throw you one more out there. The Miami Dolphins in, you know, Chase Edmonds hasn't worked. Raheem Mostert's okay. McDaniel's pretty familiar with him divisionally when he was with the 49ers. They know him. They might be wanting to jump in on more of a stable of running backs because it's only Mostert. Like, I mean, I know Gaskin's out there, but like they didn't even run Edmonds. So they might want some more depth and they might want a playmaker because they're trying to put their chips in. And Cam Akers might make some sense with the Dolphins. Plus the Dolphins being involved in the trade rumors with Christian McCaffrey. Not going to say like a team is going to jump out who loses on McCaffrey. Akers isn't in that same place, but teams that are looking, I think Akers at this point is we're looking for a playmaker with more depth, and you have to eliminate the 49ers divisionally. So it's going to go somewhere else. And if you go AFC, I love the names you mentioned. Broncos and Ravens have been on my mind, but maybe the Dolphins would be another. Want to talk about some Week 7? Yes, let's do it. Let's go with our plays here. Quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers. It's Joe, Bogman, and myself putting it out all together. And Joe, you're our guest. So let's start you off right at the top. How we do this is, you know, surprise quarterback one for the week is going to be a non-traditional QB1. Fantasy Pros is a great place, obviously, to check out the aggregate ranks to kind of judge what that is. We'll do the same things on running backs. Usually these are not typical players in this spot that jump up. So you get to kick us off with your surprise quarterback one for the week. Do not take our players or you will be banished. And
I've been doing shows for 4 straight hours, so I have no idea who your players are. So
I know you're not seeing the sheep, but I'm just,
I don't even know
you,
my name. But I would, the one that jumps off the chart, there's two of them. So if I pick one of yours, I'll stop talking about it. Matt Ryan is one. He had a good game against
Bogman
Tennessee.
Eliminated.
Good one.
He had a good game against Tennessee last time out. The desperation of having to throw the football more. It's just now becomes this weird thing where, okay, Deion Jackson had 10 targets last week. Does Jonathan Taylor step in and become that guy? Is Nyheim Hines come into? Like, there's so many weird moving pieces of this offense that's got me a little concerned, but that was one. If you want me to talk about somebody else, I will. Boggs, you can talk
as
about
long
Matt
as it's
Ryan.
Not my guy. As long as it's not my guy now.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What is this?
It's In This League.
What? How can we be expected to teach
Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh
to learn how to read if they can't even fit inside the building?
In This League
has to be at least 3 times bigger than this.
I got another one. It's okay. Go ahead.
All right. So, yeah. So Matt Ryan's that guy for me that I think is right at like QB 11 for me right now.
I think that's a great one. That was actually one of the first ones I went to look for. And Bogman had locked that guy in on the list. So I think that's a great one, especially with the advent of Alec Pierce jumping up in the offense. Paris Campbell looks all right. Mm-hmm. I really sit back also and wonder, not that it's going to like take away, but you just got to wonder, like, no way they're not going to not put Deion Jackson back out there after the week that he had and what he was able to do, whether it's at the expense. I'm saying if he's healthy, like if Hines, maybe they don't push out there. I don't know. They've got some weapons and Matt Ryan's stinky, but that team is stinky. And sometimes stinky teams just get lots of opportunity. And that's what he has. So I think that's a great pick. My pick for the week is actually coming off of a concussion. I'm going to go with Tua. I'm going to go with Tua returning here.
That's a good one.
Tua before injured. I think he's 16 on quarterbacks for the for Fantasy Pros aggregate ranks. I am picking against Pittsburgh again. Pittsburgh played really well against Tom Brady, but I think it was obviously more about how bad Tom Brady was. Tua before the concussion was the 10th scoring quarterback per game in fantasy. And he's missed those 2 weeks. Pittsburgh, only one of 7 teams so far to give up more than 20 points per game to quarterbacks. Obviously, they give up tons of points to their wide receivers. Waddle and Tyreek Hill are going to welcome them coming back. Pittsburgh probably going to do a little bit better job of stopping that run. And Tua is going to be slinging the ball, make a statement back coming off a concussion. So I think he's in a great spot on a great matchup to put up some points, 2 or 3 touchdowns. I'm going to go see if that 1.5, if it's going to be 1.5 touchdown over, I'm jumping on that on DraftKings if it is.
Two of those three touchdowns. I'm going to be miserable for the Sunday show. I will be not.
You know what? I hope you are, because you were so happy this weekend and I was miserable because the Niners lost to Atlanta. I actually don't hope you are, but yeah, I like when I like when you
what's
get
that all about. But, yeah. Well, I mean, I know you like Salty Bogman here, but come on, you know,
yeah,
not at the cost of the Steelers, please, you know, or let them cut my foot
Super Bowl champions first. Under Mitch Trubisky.
We'll see. Jury's still out on that. All right. Derek Carr versus Houston is mine. And I had him initially. And then I said, you know what? People are definitely forgetting that Derek Carr is playing this week because I got to the ranks early. Raiders were on bye week, but he's still at 13. So he's still just outside a QB1. They're playing Houston coming off of a bye week, wanting to get better, getting all of those pieces healthy, like Renfro and Waller and, you know, Jacobs. So am I. So I think that Derek Carr is going to have a huge week, especially with that extra week to prep against.
I've got him at QB7 this week against Houston. I love him coming out of the bye. Love him coming out of the bye this week against Houston with Davante Adams right now. Salty new Raider Davante Adams. This is the Davante Adams.
By the way, Davante Adams is like buried on the early Fantasy Pros ranks.
It'll turning into the villain.
It'll be interesting to see how much
you got to add people back. So, you know, that's the hard thing. It's like on the system, you have to add people back. So it takes people a while to recognize they have to do that. But I've got him way up high. So don't worry.
Yes, I'm with you. Bogman, we're now going to go to sleeper quarterback. So this snake, so this will go to you. So this is the non-typical starting quarterback that that was more of the non-QB1. This is just, you know, deep league quarterback that you think might make a play, probably a little bit more flex, but maybe there's some deeper leagues with bye weeks that are going to be in desperation and someone you think you can throw out.
Give me Jared Goff against the Cowboys. You know, once again, Lions coming off of a bye week. So they're going to be nice and rested here. Hopefully we're getting Amon-Ra back, DJ Chark, TJ Hockenson, DeAndre Swift, all could possibly be coming back for the Lions. They've been down a bunch of targets recently. And the Cowboys get Dak Prescott back. I think that's going to make that offense hum a little bit better, score some points because the Lions defense is still really, really bad. So I think we could see just a little bit more of a shootout than expected. So give me the over in this game. I think it was fairly low. I think it was at like 45 or 44 yesterday. And give me Jared Goff as a streamer.
I am going to go with either of the Pittsburgh quarterbacks, whoever's starting. If it's Mitch or it's Kenny Pickett, I'm going to assume it's going to be Mitch this week, but you know, hey, never know. Might get out of concussion protocol quick. I'll take either one of these guys.
Totally redeem yourself. I love this call. Well,
if you're in a super flex or whatever it is, because Pittsburgh is giving up the third least rushing yards in the league. So I like that for the passing side. Obviously, you're going to see, Pittsburgh is giving up the third. No, hold on. I got to cut this. What was that note? Oh, that's a wrong note. Sorry. Hold on. Is that Miami? What was my stupid ass note? I think I wrote this wrong. I think this was Miami. Yeah. It is. Yeah. Miami giving up the third least rushing yards in the NFL so far. More passing for Pittsburgh. Miami's defense. Boy, this is a disaster one. Miami's defense averaging over 260 passing yards given up to quarterbacks, just under two touchdowns so far. So obviously neither one of these quarterbacks are not in the best spot on the planet, but George Pickens, Chase Claypool, Deontay Johnson, Najee Harris getting a little bit more involved. They will not be able to run. Yeah. Unfortunately, Bogman. Well, Pittsburgh's not going to be able to run.
He ain't running anyway.
They're going to have to pass, and you're looking at 260 with a couple touchdowns against that defense. So give me one of those Pittsburgh quarterbacks, and I will play them in the deep, deep play. So, Joey, you get to pick your sleeper quarterback for the week.
Well, how would you like to have the guy who finishes QB9 the last 2 weeks? How would you like that in your lineup?
Ooh, yeah, sell me.
His name is Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, it ain't pretty, but the stats are there. Coming off a bad loss, playing the Chiefs, who I think are not as good as they have been in other incarnations. I think this is a team that plays very hard, but I don't think so far that it's all come together for them. And you've got the Chiefs at home in your home spot here, and I think that there's opportunity here where you can stream Jimmy Garoppolo if you're in a really deep league. Then it's always Zappy hour. you know, it's always Zappy hour at the Bizapia house. Everyone loves me some Bailey Zappy. I wanted Bailey Zappy. If had I known it would turn into a quarterback controversy, I don't know if I would have wanted him as much as I did, but here we go. But look, Garoppolo isn't great. It's not pretty, but the stats are there. The numbers are there at the end of the day. Like I said, top 10 quarterback last 2 weeks. And I guarantee you he's on the waiver wire.
I had him as my last week. I just didn't want to do it again, but it's the same thing. Coming into last week, his last two starts, he had averaged over, I think, 250 passing yards, and he had 3 touchdowns with 0 picks. Picks are stupid in this last game, but that's 5 touchdowns passing over the last 3 weeks, and this is just another good matchup where they're going to have to sling the ball. They're going to get wrecked
right
by Kansas City, and they're going to be passing from behind. So I absolutely love it. I just wasn't going to take it.
And they look, Legarius Sneed, you've been able to, you know, burn him a lot. And the one thing that Jimmy Garoppolo likes to do, roll the ball over the middle, right? The slot receivers and like do little quick things. I mean, that's their bread.
Somebody will catch it.
Yep.
Somebody will catch it.
I'll throw it in the middle. Someone's going to catch it.
You ever throw the ball behind?
If I was there, you know, I keep waiting for the Kittle game. I'm wondering if this is the Kittle game because it certainly feels like it could be.
Yeah, the Kittle game was kind of last week. Yeah, 80 yards.
No, but you know, like the Kittle
game. No, yeah, the 150-yard, two-touchdown game. Yeah. This might be that. I had mentioned big on Kittle that like he was going to get more involved in the offense, as would Ayuk, and that happened last week, and that will kind of carry over. Moving over to running backs. Joe, you get to kick us off. This is a surprise RB1 for the week, someone that is not typically in there or maybe is not allocated for it via Fantasy Pros for this week.
Well, I haven't looked at where the ECR is, but I have Ramondre Stevenson at 6. And it's like, I mean, the Bears are 7. Not good against the run.
He is 6.
ECR.
Yeah. No, he's 6. Oh, that's standard. Yeah, half. Yeah.
The other guy too, like DeAndre Swift isn't ranked there yet, but I think that's just because we were waiting on the injury news. So I don't know if that really qualifies either, but look, Stevenson, he's the guy that hasn't been in that category. Like, let's be honest, he's not in that category, but my goodness, if he doesn't give you all the feels of a Marshawn Lynch type back, I don't know what you're watching.
Like, do you like it if Harris is active?
I don't think Harris matters anymore.
Like, okay, that's what I wanted to hear.
I don't think he does. I mean, I don't think anybody can watch Ramondre Stevenson play in the last 2 weeks when you're giving him what, like 20, you know, he's getting like 25 touches a game the last 2 weeks, right? Or more, actually. 27, and then last week, 23. I mean, he's been RB11, RB1 in those in the last two games. That was in standard, and in half PPR, he was RB14 and RB2. Like, that's, you know, look, Damian Harris, I don't think he's going to be healthy enough to play. Even if he is, I'd imagine he'd be limited. So I'm still very confident with Ramondre as an RB1, especially the matchup against the Bears. It's really the Bears more than anything.
I always have a hard time when you get situations like this where these guys that maybe there's like a 1A, 1B situation, and they're so great when someone's not there. How does a team take away from that? Like, when you are better, you're a better team with Ramondre Stevenson, and they are more explosive. So how do you limit that and take that away? Last week is the first week I think I had him as an RB1, and I think the point sitting here is like, he's not even just firmly an RB1, but like, he might be the elite options. He might be.
Well, Belichick doesn't care about your fantasy team, but he does care about wins, and they've won the last 2 weeks too.
Exactly. This is another one of those. Maybe ECR didn't catch up. Maybe I'm missing something. I don't know if he was even ranked as an RB2 early this week, but my surprise RB1 for the week is going to be Josh Jacobs, who has,
because they're going off a bye.
Maybe we'll catch up.
I've got him at 8 right now.
Well, I'm going to just throw out to you, that's my guy then. And wherever he's going to sit, even if he's not sitting at an RB1, Houston's allowing the most fantasy points to running backs on the year. Here are your averages: over 130 rushing yards, 40 receiving yards, and about a touchdown to running backs. And obviously that can pair to multiple. That doesn't exist in Las Vegas. It is Josh Jacobs. Guess what? Over his last two games played, he's had 49 carries, averaging 149 rushing yards, and he has got about 30 yards receiving over those previous three games. That is almost literally the exact numbers that Houston is averaging, giving up two running backs. This is a killer, killer matchup this week for Josh Jacobs. So he is going to be my surprise or big running back one for the week. Boggs, who do you got?
I reached down a little bit in this one. I'm going to go with Raheem Mostert against my Steelers. I'm going to do the same strategy you did for QB, even though the Steelers aren't giving up a ton of rushing yards. Doesn't really matter. With Tua coming back, I think they're going to lean on the run game a little bit more than they have in the past. And look, the Steelers are still banged up all over the place. They did a good job of stopping Leonard Fournette, but Leonard Fournette has never found a run where he couldn't run the wrong way on it. Now, sometimes he's so big, he can run over someone. And dude, there was a block on his touchdown. I want you to go back and watch it if you have a chance. On his touchdown against Pittsburgh, he had four guys blocked from the wide receivers and the tight end and alignment. Like, they were all blocked perfectly, and he decided to cut it back inside where three dudes were standing and just run them all over, right? So I love Lenny, but he had some bad runs.
Just like mashing the sticks. Like, you don't know what you're doing. Like, yeah, you're just hitting R1 and L1 and just hoping it gets somewhere.
That's what Fournette does, man. That's why he needs a fullback. Fullback, like, I follow fullback, fullback, tell me where to go. Like, that's kind of what Fournette is. You know what I mean? So, but Raheem Mostert, I think it's going to rip off a couple gash runs. They are just not giving Chase Edmonds anything anymore. Gaskin's still a little nicked up. So I don't think it's going to be multiple backs. I think it's going to be mainly Mostert, 15 to 20 touches, somewhere in that range. And against this, you know, Pittsburgh defense that has been ugly recently. I mean, good against Brady when he's bad. Mm. Great. But I think he's going to rip off a couple big chunk gains. So I got Mostert.
We're really picking on Pittsburgh. All right. So snaking down to surprise RB2 for the week. So a non-typical running back two that is going to jump into that territory, Boggs, and you're going to get ugly.
Yeah, look, how about we just take the most obvious one? Give me Kenyon Drake. Kenyon Drake looked amazing last week. You know, they're playing the worst run defense, one of the worst run defenses. I think they actually ranked 24, Cleveland, maybe worse than that after last night's game. But they ranked like 24th against the rush. Myles Garrett got banged up again. Jadeveon Clowney's missed some time. They're just not good against the run, Cleveland. And Baltimore is a run-first team. J.K. Dobbins is hurt.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
I don't think he's going to end up playing this week. And even if he does, they will split this because Drake looked too good to take off the field last week somehow. So we saw Lat Murray do this for the Ravens a couple times last year as well. I don't know if this is going to be the whole season, but I think it is for right now. So give me Kenyon Drake as an RB2.
My sleeper or surprise RB2 of the week is not ranked in this range. And he might not mentally be thought of in this range, but we can get there. I'm going with Brian Robinson versus Green Bay. Green Bay, as I had mentioned last week and why I liked Breece Hall and ranking him so high, was giving up a ton of rushing yards. Well, they are still giving up the fourth most rushing yards, over 120 a game, 5.3 yards per carry Green Bay is at right now. We saw Brian get 17 carries last week. He accounted for 47% of the snap count with about 27 snaps. McKissick was second, and McKissick is the receiving down back. Gibson down to 15 total snaps. I think it was like in the 20 percentile range. This is Brian Robinson's gig, and they got a messy quarterback situation. I do worry that, you know, Green Bay is going to be pissed off and they're going to take it out and put up a bunch of points, and then you're going to kind of be taken out of that spot. But Green Bay's played so bad that that might not be the case. They're going to have to establish the run. You can do that against the Green Bay Packers. So give me Brian Robinson being my sleeper RB2 of the week. Joe? You up?
Yes, you almost took my guy. He was my backup. I'm going to go ahead and say the worm is turning in the backfield for the Jaguars. It's been trending this direction. So Travis Etienne looks good. He had that big run last week too. Like, you're starting.
He had one
to
call
see
back
him.
Too. He had like a 65-yard touchdown call back on a hole.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so Travis haters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like that Travis Etienne Jr. filler. He's got real opportunity here because he also can catch passes too. He's got 7 targets in the last 2 games. Matchup against the Giants defense. Look, Giants defense is not bad. they're okay. But I think that just from a sheer volume upside standpoint, I think he brings a nice floor that you're starting to see him work more, but he's also got that upside for that big plays. And I think you're starting to get that feel. Travis Etienne is finally, again, this is his rookie season. He didn't play last year. So now he's healthy. Now he's starting to get acclimated. It's only week 7. You got to give the guy some chances and James Robinson looked very good in the first couple of weeks, but you've seen the volume start to push off a little bit, and you see a trend. I think that trend is going to continue the rest of the season.
I like that. Moving down to now your sleeper RB for the week. This is just a deep play. Someone you're jumping in on, probably not valued in the top 36, or maybe you ended up getting there. Your sleeper RB of the week.